Before we get into the scripture, Carol mentioned about the bird. This week, I've helped little hummingbirds in my hand, and they're so delicate, you can't even feel the weight difference when they're sitting in your hand. And I've always just marveled at how they can be just hovering and take off so fast in a direction. I mean, they get it in gear in a hurry. And as I was standing out there this week, I had two that I guess was having a problem with one another, two males sort of fighting. And they flew across my shoulder so close that I felt the wind off of them, two of them. And it sounded almost like you had the afterburners kicked in that as they went by. And it's such an amazing thing to look at something so delicate and a mighty God that created that and put all of that together. When you look at their legs and how they can hold on in a high wind to a limb, and their toes are so tiny, you wonder how there's anything in that that can work. But God created it, and they got a lot of strength in it. And you and I, when we've got some kind of a minor problem with us, that we think, well, you know, that's something I've got to live with. If God can create things like that so delicately, me and you, there's not a problem that we've got that God can't correct, because He's the one that created our whole bodies and everything there is about it. So you and I, you know, if we got the faith to believe, we can look around at all of God's creation, instead of making seeds of doubt, it should be building mountains of faith that you and I can look at and know God's watching over us. Because He takes, feeds, and takes care of all of those things, me and you are nothing more for Him to take care of. We just got to look at Him and recognize Him and praise God for what that He does. You know, it's a wonderful thing to wake up this morning and have the opportunity to come to church and serve God each and every day that we live. You know, it's something to be thankful for. There's a lot of parts of the world that people don't have this privilege to get up and go to a church of their choice, to be able to sit in service anywhere we want to. Nobody tells us where we've got to go. Nobody even tells us that we have to go. We have that freedom. And, you know, I thank God for it. And you and I, if we put our faith and trust in the Lord and do what's pleasing to God, all things are still possible. And I want to read here in Acts a couple of different places at what happened to people because of decisions that they made in their life. And we see in our country, it's come to the place where people that reverence God really, I guess you'd say, use the scripture as a basis for their life, are looked down upon by the news media and by a large segment of our population as being a little weak in the mind. But you know, according to the Bible, you and I, the beginning of knowledge is to recognize God and that He's the one that's got the power. And though we might not be highly educated book-wise, when God looks down, if we recognize that there is a true and living God and we come before Him to worship Him, God looks at us as being a wise person. But we can have all the education and all the degrees that our walls can hold, all the plaques telling about where we've been educated, but if we don't know God in our heart, we're foolish in the eyes of God because we've let go the most important thing in life. You and I, we can be highly educated, and when we die, that education ends right there. All that we knew, it ended right there. But if we know God, when we die, that's just the beginning of that knowledge that we have. The man with the highest education in hell, it will do him no good. You and I, what we learn of God here in this life, if we put Him first for all of eternity, we can be there praising God and enjoying what we just had a taste of here. And that's what we need to do. All right, in Acts, the 10th chapter, we'll start reading with the very first verse. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Then if you'll turn right on over into the 13th chapter and start reading at the 9th verse, and here Paul is speaking about one that had been trying to turn people away from the knowledge of wanting to come to God. Then Saul, which also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thy enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And that now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Now here, because this man withstood the things of God, instead of him finding knowledge and salvation, because he was not wanting others that wanted to believe in God, the knowledge and the possibility of coming to know God. Here he was withstanding that, and because of that, he ended up being struck blind. But then you'll find Cornelius, because he recognized that there was a God and that God was real, he recognized that he was just a man, and he seen that there was something real in the true and the living God, and he began there to pray unto God, and he was praying all the time, and he got God's attention, and he sent an angel to speak unto him, that he might be able to see it, and find a man that would come and tell him what he needed to be saved. This was a man that didn't even know God in his heart, but he longed to know it. You and I today, what a difference it made, if we only come and surrender unto God, show forth before God what's really in our heart, that we want to know God and Him as our personal Savior. And we look around today in the world, people, they don't want to know about God because it might require something of them, and they would rather go along in ignorance and think that's going to get them by. But when we stand before God, it's not. God sees what's in our heart today. And if we truly have a heart that wants to know about God, if it means God have to send somebody from the other side of the world to speak to it, He'll work that out. Why? Because God just wants you and I to have a sincere heart, desire to know God and what God's required of us. And today God has not changed one bit. Hear this man, because he said he prayed always. You and I today, and we'll spend some time in prayer, not being ashamed to let ourselves and the world around say,
that prayer's important to us. That we'll spend some time praying and talking to God. Prayer still can be answered. This man was to the point of an angel being sent unto him. By prayer, Lord, the same God is listening unto him. And if we won't be slack about praying and talking to God, then God will not be slack about hearing and answering that prayer. And it's wonderful to know that in our prayers today that we pray, that the same God that changed things back in the Bible is ready to hear and to answer and change things for us. You know, I've been amazed. I need to sit down and just go through the New Testament and count on and write down the number, but I'm amazed at how many times you'll find in the Bible where it says, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has done it. Your faith. And yet today we look around and faith is probably the thing that's lacking in most people. That faith to believe in the impossible, that God is still able to do it. You and I today, God's not changed one bit. And if we can believe, He said all things are possible. You and I, He's waiting for us to ask of Him, to come before Him, asking something of God in faith, believing. If you want to see your children grow up to know God and to say, start praying about it when they're young. Don't wait till they're old and already poor. You can take it. I remember a visit of a man when I was a kid in North Carolina. A dad would go and visit me, and he held revivals in his man's church. And out in his yard, he had took trees and things that he had formed on. By working with them into all different things, he had stuff there that looked like animal that he had trimmed and shaved. He had trees there that he had crooked around good to show that you could. But he said you've got to start out when they're young and tender and you gradually bend into the shape that you want them to be in. You and I today, God wants us to take our children today, and we want them to know about God, to start young, teaching on each and every day about the things of the Lord. You'll find back in the Old Testament, he told the children of Israel for them to be in front of their children each and every day. And we'll find today they don't even want the Ten Commandments on the walls of their school because it might affect the way that the children, I guess you'd say, grow up. Well, you and I, you know, we can see what it's done, but not having it around, it's affected them. In our schools today, the children do not comprehend, thou shalt not murder. Because it's something, I guess, the teachers don't take time to teach them. And they haven't read it because a lot of their parents don't go to church and they've never read it anywhere. But maybe if we had it on the walls, this is a command from God. Maybe they wouldn't be there in school killing each other as if life does not matter. Maybe if we had it in front of them regularly, that they will at the end of their life stand before God and give an account of the life that they live, maybe it would make a difference in them realize the decision I make today, I'm going to give an account of. You and I, as I was talking to one of my little grandchildren this week, and he was talking, I think it was this week, it might have been the week before, but talking about how old I was, and when you're old, you're dead. And I told him, any of us can die at any time. By nature, I'm a closer to them than somebody that's young. But none of us are promised to live to be old and to the point that a man wants to die. And after death, the judgment. And we need to teach our children each and every day of your life you need to live it. When you lay down to go to sleep that night, if you die before morning, it's alright with your soul.
Why? Because if there's anything wrong there, you repented of it. That you might stand before God. Please let it inside. That's why this man, he prayed regularly. You'll find Paul in his life, he prayed regularly. Me and you, each and every day, we need to pray regularly. That we might not fail God. I found, and I forget right now exactly where it's at, but I've read it just here in the last week or so in the Bible, where it was talking about how many times a day it went before the Lord to pray. And you and I, you know, we need to go before the Lord many times a day. And I heard, I forgot, it's one of the Christian radio stations I was listening to, and they was talking about some evangelist years ago that he said seven times a day he prayed. Me and you, you know, we might not be able to get off someone other on our knees seven times a day and pray, but we don't have to be on our knees always to pray. Wherever we're at, we can pray. I've prayed driving tractor and trailers down the road. I've prayed working on a machine, making something. I've prayed out pouring concrete in construction. I've prayed as I was sitting running equipment on construction. Wherever you're at, no matter what you're doing, you can still work with these hands and pray and talk to God. And you and I, we need to make sure that our life continually has prayer in it. Even our children around, when they see something happen, they should hear something out of our mouth first. Oh, God, Lord, start to pray so that they know that that is someone that we trust in. When things are not going right, that we're trusting in God to help us. And then whenever things are going fine, they can hear a word of praise come out of our lips. Thank you, God, for helping us. You and I today, we should realize we're helpless without God. I can do nothing without myself. They're going to bow to verbal without God. As Darrell was saying, we can be more colorblind. All the pretty things that we see here in the world would mean nothing to us. We can be born without the youth of our arms and legs, where we couldn't even feed ourselves. And each and every day we get up, we stop to say, God, Lord, I'm so thankful for all that you blessed me with. I'm able to dress myself. I'm able to feed myself. I'm able to go out to provide for my family. And it's all because of you. And you and I, if we'll put our faith and trust in God, we can see what a difference it makes. And here, as we're reading to you, you know, this day and time, people would not like to hear some Christian speak unto a person in sin the way Paul spoke to this man. But this man was bold in his rebellion against the things of the Lord. So Paul was very bold in his rebuke of him. You and I today, those that are so bold in standing against everything that's holy, needs to have the Word of God spoke back boldly unto them to get their attention. If you've got a friend or a loved one that don't know God, and living a life of sin, there's no reason to go to them and speak in harsh tones or something to try. You go to them in love and reach your arm out, because truly, except for the grace of God, that's me or that's you. Each and every one of us, we need to realize, except somebody prayed, except somebody took the time to reach out to me and offer Christ unto me, where would I be today? I'd be probably like a lot of my distant relatives. Never have time for God. Never think about Him. Because
They have chose a life of sin, and they don't want to hear about God. They don't want to go around the church. They don't want to go around a Christian person. They don't want to have nothing to do with it. And yet, to talk to them, in their own eyes, they're a good person. Me and you, we need to realize if the person is lost and they don't know God and we have a chance to speak to them, we need to let them know that there's a loving God that's making a way for them that they can be saved. Just like here, Peter, when he come, and what happened? If you go on and read this, you'll find God prepared Peter while these was coming. God was sending men to come to Peter, and he started preparing Peter to go to them. Because up until that time, Peter wouldn't went. Peter was just interested in the Jewish family. God opened Peter's eyes to see that salvation was for all. He was opening the door for all. Isn't it wonderful that he did? That included me and you. Amen. And this is the beginning of that very thing before we can see how God opened that up for each and every one of us. And you'll find Paul, when the Jews was rejecting, Paul said, I'm turning and going unto the Gentiles. Which basically Paul was called to do. Me and you. God has made it possible for us to hear the gospel. Let's pass it on to somebody. It's a wonderful thing. As we was talking in Sunday school, the Bible is a unique book, different from any other that you'll ever read. And if you ever get somebody that comes to you telling you about some book that they've read and they want you to read it, that's fine. If it's a good, decent book, it's fine. There's a lot of literature out there that can be a help to you. But that opens a door, if they're not a Christian, that opens a door up for you to mention, well, I've been reading something that's really been a help to me, and pull out the Bible. They offer you a book, you offer one to them. Their book don't hold life, but what you're giving them will. Me and you, God's give us something that, you know, it's, if somebody comes and they give me $100,000, and I say, thank you, and I go to town and I start passing out, if it's just a dollar to everybody I meet, after a while, I'm going to be back down, I won't have enough. I give away all that was given to me. But God can fill your house up. You can go and pass it out all day long. And when you come home, your house will be still full but overflowing. And the more you pass out, the more it grows. God, giving God to people and passing him out to them, you will never be bankrupt. Your storehouse will be filled and overflowing. And that's what God wants of each and every one of us. Not satisfied to sit there. Cornelius here. He was satisfied to try and live for God just for himself, but it was him and his household, and because of it, him and his whole household was saved and baptized in one day. You and I today, and we want our people to know about God, all premature. You can't depend upon somebody else coming down the road to speak of your heart. You must take it to them yourself.
And you know, my dad, when I was growing up, I can remember Dad requesting prayer for his family, oh, so many times. And Dad lived off from every one of them in other states from what they did, just doing what God had called him to do. And he had some of about as mean a people, I guess, in his families could be, and Dad said, that's what he would have been if God hadn't saved him. But, you know, every one of Dad's brothers got right with God before they died. Every one of them. Though they had been mean, drunk, fought,
done a little bit of everything. Before they died, every one of them got right with the Lord. I guess Dad's dad was the only one that his mom become a Christian, but his dad never did. And he had been a very mean man. He'd kill people. Spent time in prison for him. But Dad still requested prayer for him. Why? Because though that man was so evil, he didn't want nothing to do with his son because his son was a preacher and wanted to be a right, and all his dad would say, oh, he's just too proud. He's too proud. That was what he thought of him. But Dad prayed for him continually like that and still requested prayer for him right up to the time of his death. But you and I, we might love somebody no matter how bad they are. We might love them. We might offer Christ a tool. And they may reject it and refuse it. But when we walk into that holy city, it's not going to attract one thing from it. Then I heard him preach a message once and he said it happened. It would break my heart to go into that holy city and think of all eternity while I was there. My dad was burning in hell. But he said, I honestly believe when I woke up to the day and God wiped the tears from my eyes, the memory of death will be called to happy. He said, I had something much better to do. That's to serve God to happy. And to count the praises for all of eternity. I won't be thinking of it all happy and worried that it happened. But he said, word that will be then happy. All that been presented a joy happy. All that he made fun of happy. For all of eternity happy. Will be going through his mind happy. Of how close that he was happy. You and I, when we offer God to everyone happy. If they refuse it happy. Don't let it fool you down happy. Just live the happy. When you're
oh, well, that memory of them will be gone because you'll be there in part making up the full family of God. And we won't have to be thinking of the unpleasant things. You know, I've thought of this many times when you're in a church service where it's a good spiritual service. I don't care what kind of problems you've been having in life the week before. They're not on your mind. You're just enjoying the things of the Lord. Well, those thoughts that would torment us when we go into heaven, that's the way it's going to be. We're going to be in the Spirit of God. Those things will never come to mind. And you and I, we need to get our mind and heart upon God here that we might reach all that we can. You know, my heart's desire is, Lord, help me to reach all that you're holding me responsible for reaching. I don't want to miss one of them. Now, whether they accept God or not, that's up to them. But I want to make sure that I reach all that God wants me to reach. And you and I, if we lift God up and let the world see of what a difference God can make in our heart and life. You know, if a person that is, I guess you'd say, a wicked person in the eyes of the world, if they come to the Lord, anybody that knows them sees a change real quick. They really notice real quick what a difference it made. You know, when I got right with the Lord, that Sunday afternoon, there was a baptizing. And my uncles and them, they went to church down in Maryland, and I was going to a church in Delaware, and the baptizing was in Pennsylvania. And they knew some people that was being baptized, so they come up that Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock to this baptizing. I got right with the Lord that Sunday morning. My uncle, when he got out of the car up on the hill, you had to walk down this hill to where we were baptized. And we got up out of the car, up there, and started down the hill. He turned to his wife and he said, "That's Herb standing down there," and said, "Hey, something looks different about him." And he didn't know what a difference it was. And it was just because before I didn't know God. I had been taught about God, but I did not know God as my personal Savior. And that makes a lot of difference. It's one thing to have head knowledge. It's another one to have salvation. And it's going to make you go, that's just like having a light bulb. Everybody look at it until it's a light bulb. But when the juice is turned on to it, it looks totally different, doesn't it? Me and you. We can, anybody can look at us and tell we're human beings. But when God comes on the inside, we're a new creature. We're more than just a human being. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. While we get some song to sing. Which one would you rather be? One that is praying and living for the Lord and doing that that's right in the sight of God and being blessed by God because of it, or one that is rebellious and paying the consequences? And, you know, I found in my own life, when you rebel against what God wants you to do, it don't bring blessings unto you. It will rob you of everything that you thought that you had in the Lord. Though you may call yourself a Christian, I know when God started dealing with me about preaching, and I thought there was others around that was far more capable. I could not even feel the Spirit when we was in church because I wasn't doing what God wanted me to do. You and I, if we're obedient unto God, we can enjoy a Christian life and we can enjoy the Spirit of the Lord in our life. While we sing, please, if you're not where you should be with the Lord, will you come and pray today?